Blog Talk Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform to create your own professional website, portfolio, or online store. It's incredibly easy to use, and every design automatically includes a unique mobile experience that will look great on every device, every time. It starts at just $8 a month and includes a free domain name if you sign up for a year.
For a free trial and a 10% discount, go to squarespace.com/blogtalk. That's squarespace.com/blogtalk.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Franchise Interviews. For over 6 years, Franchise Interviews has been giving an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship. Listen to interviews with franchisers, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and attorneys. And now, welcome your host, Marty McDermott, and Franchise Interviews.
Hi everyone, and welcome to a very special edition of Franchise Interviews, where for over 7 years now, we've been asking the franchisors one-on-one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, and I'm the president of Franchise Interviews, and we have a great show today. We're meeting with Robert Maynard, the CEO of Toast Cafe. And Toast Cafe's story began in 2005 in Huntersville, North Carolina, in a small house-turned restaurant where best friends Brian Burchill and Robert Maynard opened their first breakfast spot. I'm going to talk to Robert about that in just a moment on Franchise Interviews. Stick around because we have a great show.
Are you looking for a franchise that delivers? Businesses will always need shipping, and for more than 25 years, loyal customers have depended on Unishippers for reliable savings and exceptional customer service. Unishippers is focused on just one thing, helping small and medium-sized businesses save time and money on all their shipping needs. And as the largest reseller of complete shipping services in the country, we have the buying power to ensure that we succeed. The Unishippers franchise offers low startup costs, no equipment or real estate required because they're not retail, residual income, and a quality of life and work-life balance. For more information on becoming a Unishippers franchisee, go to www.unishippers.com and click Franchise Opportunities or call Franchise Development at 801-708-5822. That's 801-708-5822.
Hi everyone, and welcome back to a very special edition of Franchise Interviews, where for over 7 years now, we've been asking the franchisepreneurs one-on-one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott. I'm the president of Franchise Interviews, and as we were saying earlier, we have a great show today. We're meeting with Robert Maynard, the CEO of Toast Cafe. And Toast Cafe's story began in 2005 in Huntersville, North Carolina, in a small house-turned-restaurant where best friends Brian Burchill and Robert Maynard opened their first breakfast spot. Hey, Robert, how you doing? Welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning. How are you guys?
I'm doing well, Robert. Thank you for coming on the show. Just try to go a little light because it's about 30 minutes from lunchtime here, and I was on your website, and I'm already in pain, so go easy today.
Okay, no problem.
We always like to ask our guests, where are you calling from this morning, Robert?
Well, I'm calling from a little island in the states of Manhattan, New York City.
Oh, okay, there you go. Not that far away. We're in eastern Pennsylvania, so we're about 70 miles from you, so that's fantastic. You were there at the beginning of this whole story, so who better to ask, in describing the history of Toast Cafe, Robert?
Yeah, it was actually a very cool story. Brian Burchill, my partner and I, we grew up on the same block, so we've known each other since we were in the third grade. He had a great idea to start a breakfast place in Charlotte. But before that, he worked in New York City for many, many years as a manager of a lot of great restaurants, clubs, restaurants, bars, and specifically worked for Eli Zabar, who has some really great breakfast spots around the city.
Right.
And he went to Charlotte to, you know, visit some friends and realized there was nothing like Toast, the idea that we've been talking about for a while.
Right.
And decided to jump in there. The funny part of the story is he asked me one day, you know, hey, do you want to get into the restaurant business? And I said, absolutely not. Why would I want to do that? He was very smart to send me a round-trip ticket, a car, and three nights at a hotel.
Right.
And 3 days later, we had a deposit on a small little restaurant. And that's kind of how it all started, just to get the ball rolling.
Right, right.
With our,
and what was it, Robert, like about, you know, that intrigued you? Because it is interesting, you know, because a lot of people initially say, you know, no to, you know, that type of opportunity. Because it is, it's a challenging business. What was it that, you know, did it for you?
Well, Brian himself, he has an incredible passion for this business. And I watched him grow a lot of other people's businesses into some really successful restaurants. And I really believed in him. I've never invested with anybody before, so there was something about Brian, and you know, not just because we were friends, because we all have a lot of friends that want to do a lot of things, but he just had such a passion and such a vision for, you know, a really high-end gourmet breakfast, lunch, brunch concept that even myself, because we always talked about making omelets, you know, when we would get together in the city, we were both entertainers, so it was always hard to find a really good breakfast place unless you went to some very specific spots in New York. And when you were outside of New York, it was just the Greasy Spoon. So his idea of some of these dishes and how we wanted to serve it and how, you know, the actual vision for a better breakfast really intrigued me. And I was just like, wow, that's just, it's one of those things you go, it's like an aha moment. It's like, wow, I don't see that out there, you know?
Right.
So that was the exciting part in the beginning for me. I mean, I have a little bit of background in the restaurants. In the restaurant experience, I mean, Brian's is much more vast. At the time, I should say. Now we're pretty much even.
That's right. It's learning on the job,
that's,
you know, initially,
sure,
and everything like that, which is fantastic. And it's great to, you know, have that experience. You know, one of the things or the themes that we talk about on the show is, you know, to look to, you know, the founders and their experience in the industry. So I think that's so important. How do you describe Toast to someone, Robert? I mean, probably not always so easy. If you were at a franchise show and someone came up to your booth and they said, so what do you guys do? I mean, where do you typically go from there?
You know, in a line, it's the antithesis of a Greasy Spoon. It's, you know, it's the better breakfast segment on what I would call on steroids. You know, it's where, you know, we do things that a lot of people don't. I mean, we fly in fresh lobster from Maine every week. We do all different types of everything is cooked to order. No freezers, no fryers. We cook everything during, you know, that morning.
Right.
And we offer some just remarkable specials. And I got to tell you, I mean, I'm doing this restaurant for 9 years. I still love eating there. I still love going there and having a special and having something that, you know, the chefs came up with. And just the freshness of it. But you know, at the end of the day, it's the better breakfast segment.
Right.
And truthfully, where we are today is kind of in a league of our own. There's a couple of, you know, smaller brands coming up. But it's really a different trajectory, I think, in the food world. There's just, you know, as we know, there's some great pizza brands and great burger brands, and the list goes on and on. But in this world, there's just not a lot of what we're doing. And look, someone's got to take the reins and blow it up. But we're more interested in just creating a fantastic product and be able to be be able to make franchisees lots of money and be very successful. And that's the main issue now, which is just, you know, super exciting for us.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was one of the things that intrigued us in having you on the show, too. You know, it's because we always, you know, research the background of all our guests that are going to come on the show. You know, we said that this is something different, you know, and I like how you describe it as the antithesis of a Greasy Spoon. You know, I mean, it's a great way of describing it.
Right. Yeah, I mean,
what's your favorite dish when you go in, Robert? I mean, do you have a favorite? You mentioned that, you know, you're still a fan of the food, which is fantastic because you get to eat as much as you want. But, you know, what's your favorite? What do you look for?
You know, that's such a great question. Like when I'm there during the week, I love getting the chorizo omelet. When I'm there on the weekends, I'll get a lobster roll or a lobster Benedict. And, you know, and the great thing about it, and you know, because, you know, you know the product more than anyone, I know that that lobster was just swimming, you know,
right,
24 hours ago. So, and it's great. You know, it's just, it's a great experience to have a lobster roll or a lobster Benedict, you know, as a special and be able to actually have, you know, have that in your restaurant. Because the restaurant is, it's a, you know, a higher-end breakfast, lunch, brunch,
mm-hmm,
but
right,
it's not assuming.
Right.
You come in flip-flops, you can come in a suit. You know, it's not, there's no, you don't have to feel a certain way. It welcomes anyone. So that's what's great about it. And that's, I'd have to say my, like I said, if I had to put down my favorite dish, it's probably the chorizo omelet and the lobster roll.
Yeah, and then you guys did a great job on the website too. You know, I mean, as I was on the website this morning, I said, "Wow, this really looks fantastic." You know, and it looks different, and it makes you hungry when you look at it, and you know, all those other things. So I think you guys did a great job. How did you know, Robert? Like, I guess when you were ready to, you know, franchise the concept, and you know, I mean, did you know from the beginning that it was something that you were going to franchise?
No, not at all. I mean, you know, for me personally, it was just something that was kind of interesting, and I wanted to see how it went. And,
right,
you know, 3 years later, we had this tiny little, basically, it was a small ranch house that fit 44 seats, that when we bought it, they were doing, you know, 30 to 60 people a day.
Right.
And then they were closed on the weekends.
Okay.
And, you know, all of a sudden, we were doing 200 people a day, and we were doing 500, 600 people on the weekends. So we're like, wow, I guess we got something special here. So It for me, it changed, like, wow, this is actually something really exciting and really, really remarkable that, you know, you really created something out of nothing.
Right, right.
And we never thought of franchising for many years. And, you know, over the past couple of years, you know, we're voted best breakfast, best brunch in Charlotte and a lot of best of. And we know we have something real special. And we wanted to expand. And we've had so many people come in to the restaurant saying, hey, can I open a store here? Can we open a store there? Can you
right.
come to my state? And we always said that when we franchise, that we would only do it if we felt that we were as close to perfect as possible. Now, we know
right.
we're never going to be perfect. We're very clear.
Right.
But our main goal had to be, from a strictly from the franchisor perspective,
mm-hmm.
can we make franchisees money, and can we make them successful? And if the answer was yes, then that's when we would move forward. We wanted to work out all the kinks.
Right.
We're doing it 9 years. We've made the mistakes. We've made, you know, the right decisions, and
right.
you know, we've learned. So now we feel that we have, you know, it's not like we just started the concept 6 months ago and say, hey, let's do this. I mean, we've tried lots of different dishes, we've tried different hours, we've tried, you know, ways of serving, and that's, you know, brings it to another, I guess, goes into another idea, is that we created an every server is your server concept, which is actually it's trademarked because a lot of people have kind of been using that since we started it.
Right.
And, you know, it's a great concept. It's a harder piece to run because everyone
right.
basically one is on the same team. No one works for themselves when they're serving.
Sure.
So if someone's at 95%, the whole team knows. Because if you're not at 100%, everyone's going to find out very quickly because you pull tips.
Wow.
And it really helps morale. It helps the waiters, waitresses, bussers make more money. Statistically, they make more money. And most importantly, the customer is really satisfied, you know.
And it creates that team concept, like you're saying too, Robert, you know, doesn't it, you know, amongst the employees, you know, if you have that atmosphere of like a team environment, which I think is fantastic, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, and we feel that we're like a family, and we
yeah.
treat everyone like it. And I think you have to. I mean, it's just a different
yeah.
world. I mean, you really want to go to a place to work and be and you have to spend a lot of time in these places. So you want to be, you know, wherever you are, if you're working in an office job or in a restaurant, you want to make it a great environment. And our thing has always been to make it feel like family and a show. At the end of the day, we want it to feel like, you know, that the curtains come up and, you know, it's a show as well. So it's exciting. You know, I still get excited talking about it. You know, it's amazing.
What types of characteristics will you be looking for in your franchisees, Robert?
Most importantly, you know, just the passion for our
mm-hmm.
for the brand and the passion to serve. You know, we're right now speaking to a lot of people, and what we've realized is selling franchises is actually very easy. Awarding the right ones to the right people is much, much harder.
That's well said. Yeah,
you've
been doing the show a long time now, and I haven't heard that, but that's very well said, though.
Oh, thank you. I mean, it's You know, because you want to, it's a marriage. So you want to make sure that you pick the right people. And we really award them. We don't, we haven't sold, when we've now officially awarded three, and we have a bunch that are in process. But we really take a lot of time to make sure that we're vetting. We spend a lot of time with everybody and make sure that, you know, first and foremost, they have the passion to want to do this and to want to serve. At the end of the day, you're serving people. You're serving them a great product. And you've got to want to do that. And not everyone, you know, not everybody has that passion. People may want to have the passion to own a restaurant or make money, which is great. But you really have to be in a position that you want to serve people and serve a great product and, you know, put the product, the people first.
It's true. And I guess, you know, you're going back to telling a story earlier about, you know, people coming into the restaurant and saying, you know, you see the place is crowded and it's jumping. And, you know, people say, wow, how do I get in on one of these, you know? And it's fascinating to me. What was it like, you know, for you and your partner when you sold that first franchise? I mean, what was that like for you? I mean, opening it.
It was... That's a great question. It was kind of euphoric because it was like someone, you know, on one side, people really do believe in you. You're like, wow, people really do love this concept. And it was actually customers that were coming in for years. So they knew the concept. They've eaten there plenty of times. They've seen the good, the bad, the ugly. And
right.
It was that's what really helped drive it home, that we're like, wow, people really like what we do because, you know, they were coming there for a while. And they've seen they've seen us grow, and they've seen what we've been doing for years. So it was a euphoric experience. And even more, know that we can help them and we can be there for them. Because what a lot of people need to realize when they buy a franchise is that it's not over once you buy it. You know, you're paying for. You're paying a royalty. And you should get a lot for that royalty. You should get access to everyone and as much support as humanly possible. And that's what we... that's what we do. We make sure we have weekly calls with everyone when you first start, and you know, making sure that everything and anything that can go wrong and can go right is talked about, because that's how you know, it's like anything else. You keep your eye off the ball, you're going to miss it. So you have to keep your eye on that ball.
That's fantastic. What is the training like, Robert? I mean, once you decide, you know, that you like them, they like you, and you both decide to go forward. How's the training work? Do they come to corporate or?
Yes, they come to corporate, and we currently have three corporate stores, so we train out of the corporate stores, and we do we train from starting from learning how to use the dishwasher all the way up to expediting the food.
Wow.
So you learn everything, and by the time you're done with the on-site training, which is usually about 6 weeks, but. Just because of where we are and how much, you know, extra time we're extending the training right now, just because we want to just make sure people are really, really clear. And then we'll have 3 to 4 days of like classroom type of learning, just about scenarios and what happens when this happens and what happens when that happens. I mean, the restaurant industry is got so many idiosyncrasies that throwing out like, okay, here's a situation, what do you do? That happens every day. Those situations happen every day. So you want to have that interaction with how to handle all different types of issues and situations, because it's not about the problem that you encounter. It's how you handle it and how you recover from it.
Sure.
And I think that's what we personally have been really good at. I mean, some of our best customers are people that, you know what, didn't have the best experience day one, right? And
right.
The way we handle that, you know, is made them come in 3 or 4 days a week, because it wasn't like, well, sorry, have a nice day. It's like we go over and above to make sure that people are happy. You know, they come into your place, in your home, in your kitchen to eat. You should make them feel like $1,000. You know.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. It is. It's so important for our listeners. How would you describe a typical day, Robert? I mean, what is it like, you know, for a franchisee? I mean, from, you know, the moment they go in till the moment they go home and everything else in between.
Well, one of the best parts about what we do is we're a lifestyle brand. So the hours are from 7 to 3. So being in the restaurant business, you can really plan your life. As a young worker, when I was bartending and working in restaurants, you know, I have to work late. So first and foremost, it really helps you balance life and balance your children and your you know, after, you know, you're home by 3:30, 4 o'clock.
Right.
So first and foremost, it gives you that lifestyle balance. But it starts, we start serving at 7 a.m. And from, you know, you have your Monday through Friday is a very different crowd than your Saturday and Sunday.
Right.
You have a nice, solid, steady flow in this business. Monday through Friday is a nice, steady flow. And Saturday and Sundays are just crazy because it's brunch and have just a lot of people trying to get in. So one of the things that we've implemented and we work very hard on is having a 4-minute ticket time. Because when you have, you know, 800 people that want to get into your restaurant, you owe it to them to kind of get them in and get them out so the other people can sit down as well, and so that you don't have as long of a wait.
Sure.
So monitoring those ticket times, you know, specifically on the weekends and during the week too, especially when people want to get in and out for lunch. But really making sure when a franchisee comes in, the day starts. You know, the day starts probably a little earlier.
Right.
To make sure that everybody's, you know, starting their day right with a quick meeting. Here are the specials. Here's what's come in. You know, what kind of fresh fish do we have? What kind of new item do we have? What's going on in the town? Really understanding your local environment. You know, is there a parade? Is there a car show? Is there NASCAR? Understanding what's going on in your area. Is there going to be a busier day because school's out? Being very clear of your surroundings and kind of taking in what the day is going to look like. And then from there, you manage your day. You say hello to guests. You hopefully have yourself a great lunch in between as well.
Right, of course.
To enjoy the new dishes. And you know, like I said, you're out the door by 3:30. I mean, it's a great way to run a restaurant for 8 hours a day.
You know, and I bet you the day goes by pretty fast, doesn't it?
It does, and it really gives you the opportunity to have a life and have other things to do. You know,
that's great. Being that you're the founder of the company, I can ask you. I mean, what are the plans for the future then, Robert? I mean, if you could look 3 to 5 years down the road.
Well, you know, one of the things that you have to balance is how many units you'd like to open, and making sure that you can be the best support system for your franchisee. So, you know, as of now, in the next 5 years, we'd probably be looking for about 100 restaurants to be open, just based upon, you know, the amount of people that are interested, because we haven't really done an enormous amount of advertising.
Right,
but
right.
We've had a lot of people interested, and because of the open market for this, I think 100 would be on the low side.
That's fantastic. And it's going to be interesting, I guess, you know, for you, I mean, to be able to see something like that. As you said, I mean, it's something that, you know, you're there in the beginning. It started with, you know, pretty much an idea and probably a notebook pad. And, you know, here you are, you know, franchising the concept. It really is quite amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is. That's a good point to bring up. It is. Sometimes when you look back and you look from 30,000 feet and you're like, wow, this is really happening.
It is fantastic. What's the best way for our listeners, Robert, to get more information on becoming a franchisee? Any websites they should go to? Any numbers they should call?
Well, the website is toastcafeonline.com.
Okay.
And for any interest in a franchise, they can email at franchise@toastcafeonline.com.
That's easy enough. And it was a pleasure to talk to you, Robert. I'd already like to invite you back next year as you continue to grow. I'm a fan, and, you know, I'll keep my eye out for you guys.
Hey, thank you so much. You have a great day. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Robert. Our pleasure. And we'll be right back with more Franchise Interviews.
Franchisers, are you looking to reach aspiring entrepreneurs looking to buy a franchise? Are you looking to reach a highly educated audience on franchising? For over 6 years, Franchise Interviews has been giving an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising. Our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisers, franchisees, franchise authors, authors, franchise experts, and attorneys in our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919. That's 610-905-2919.
Need a business loan? Talk to Diamond Financial Services, the experts in franchise financing nationwide. Whether you're looking to start a franchise, acquire an existing franchise, or expand your territory through opening new locations, Diamond Financial stands by your side start to finish. From pre-qualification to packaging and presenting your application to securing a financial commitment and through the loan closing process, Diamond Financial is there. While you're waiting, thousands of others are making their financial dreams come true. Don't wait any longer. Pre-qualify now by completing a confidential, no-obligation financial analysis. Let's face it, traditional banks just aren't in the business of financing small business. At Diamond Financial, we specialize in securing franchise loans from $100,000 to $3 million and equipment leasing up to $150,000. Let us help you get started. Go to www.franchisefunding.net or call 877-508-2274. That's franchisefunding.net, 877-508-2274.
Hi everyone, this is Marty McDermott from Franchise Interviews and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising, where each podcast you get to hear a great quote in franchising. You know, we've been hosting Franchise Interviews many years now, and over that time we've had some incredible quotes on the show. One of the popular quotes that makes it into our Great Quotes in Franchising podcast comes from the question, what advice would you give to an aspiring entrepreneur looking to buy a franchise? And we asked that question to Wanda Sieber of Unishippers of Green Bay, and I thought Wanda's answer was really just as good as anything we've ever heard on the show. So we're going to play that clip for you right now. So enjoy.
The question I've been dying to ask you, you know, from all of your experience, because you've been doing this a long time now, and the majority of our listeners, Wanda, we call them aspiring franchisepreneurs. You know, they know that they want to go into their own business, and it seems like they're most interested in franchising. What would you say to them from all your years of experience as a franchisee?
Well, I love being an entrepreneur, but I really love being a franchisepreneur because it takes a lot of the risk and nighttime drama out of a person's life. I don't think anybody wants to start a business and lay awake feeling like they need to throw up every night.
Sure.
And you can do that if, well, you can do that anytime you want, but a lot of that goes away when you're part of a franchise system. We get a lot of calls from potential franchisees, and they ask me, what do you like about Unishippers in particular?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll share that, but I think there are good things to look for as you're looking at any franchise system. And hopefully when you're looking at a franchise system, you're able to call existing franchisees and do due diligence.
Right.
The first is we're really pleased with the ethical leadership of our leadership team.
Mm-hmm.
Every one of them has come from the franchise body. They owned franchises and still own franchises. But they were hired by the corporate office as we transitioned from the original founding ownership to this leadership team. So I'm very impressed with their ethics. I've been very impressed with how they retool. As I mentioned, when we first started, we were only reselling overnight letters and packages for Airborne Express. That was really pre-fax machines, pre-email attachments. So if that was all we were doing, you certainly would not be talking to me right now.
Wow.
So we've retooled to add freight, international shipping, rail, ocean. So retooling for market changes is big. I also love that there's a lot of franchisee input, grassroots, bottom-up input, to the franchisor through their advisory councils. There's a marketing advisory council, a sales advisory council, a technical advisory council, and then I sit on the president's advisory council. I like to say that I'm the token woman there. but it that kind of feedback to the franchisor,
right.
That's the first important part of the equation. But the second important part is they actually listen to it, and we have found that franchisees are able to shape the policies implemented by the franchisor. If we come up with a great idea, they'll vet it, and if it's a great idea, it becomes the franchise policy. So
wow.
Those are all good things to look for as you're looking at a particular franchise system.
I think it's very powerful advice. You know, we've been doing the show now 7 years, and I think that's one of the best responses we've got, you know, is you know, particularly, you know, with the leadership, I'm very impressed how they were franchisees, because I think that's very important, you know, that they can empathize. I think sometimes it's difficult for someone to empathize what it's truly like to be a franchisee, you know, if you've never done it before. And something you mentioned, too, on it is the whole, like, retooling. And I think that's important, too. It's a great word to use, the nighttime drama. It probably happens a lot with entrepreneurs, right? You're thinking, okay, what do I have to do next, you know? And you're thinking about all these different ideas, and you don't know what's going to work and what's not going to work. And I'm sure Unishippers does a lot of research, you know, market research as far as, you know, what's going on out there, what trends are taking place in the industry. And then, again, the franchisee input is so important, because I don't think all, you know, again, studying franchising for as long as I have now, not all of them really act upon, you know, the input from the franchisees. They'll listen to it, but they don't really do anything with it, you know. So I think that's
right,
so important, what
right.
you just said. You know, I think that's very powerful. So, you know, I can understand, you know, why you enjoy the Unishippers system so much. What's...